Bring our next guest is our House Minority Leader Themis Claridis. Themis, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there she is. I didn't know if we had you.
No, you were silent for a few seconds. I was a little nervous.
Yeah, I was like, you were nervous. I was nervous. So we got to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about this. This bonding package that was voted on and approved yesterday, and then we'll talk a little bit about the deep cleanse that the LOB and the state capitol is going through. But let's talk about this. Lamont had his so-called debt diet that he didn't want to bond any more than $1.3 billion for this year. But then the package that was approved yesterday authorizes the state to put $1.9 billion on the state credit card.
Well, if you remember when the governor first got elected, he threw out a few numbers that were under $1 billion for the bond package. He also said he would only toll trucks, and he also said he would give people property tax relief, and fund a Valley Regional Fire School.
Right.
But I don't know if any of those promises are anything anybody can take to the bank anymore. I think that's pretty clear. But the main issue yesterday was, as you know, we do a budget in May or June every 2 years, which was last year. That budget passed. We Republicans did not support it because it had 6% spending increases. It had $1.7 billion in tax increases, and it raided $171 million from that special transportation fund that they're telling you they need tolls to fix after they're taking money out of it every day.
So
we didn't support that, as you know, but what usually happens when we pass a budget is we pass what we call a bonding package, which is the amount of borrowing we do for the state for a two-year period for capital projects to build things like schools, to put forth municipal aid to people, more importantly, to towns and cities, that they work into their budgets. They're very close and tight budgets that they put together for most of our towns. But the governor decided last May, I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to hold it hostage so people vote for my tolling bill.
All right.
And that happened from last May until yesterday, which is, I think, the first time ever in the history of Connecticut that happened. And so it stopped towns and cities from doing snow plowing. Thankfully, there wasn't a lot of snow this year. But you know, the road work we see in the summer before the winter hits, the tree removal, the stuff that happens when we're preparing for winter, the stuff that happens after winter happens and there's damage done to the roads, and towns and cities had to take it out of their budget reserves. So we've been calling for him, Governor, if you don't want to do this borrowing package we have, that's one thing, but you have to give the towns and cities the money they were promised, and he refused to do it until yesterday. So that was the most important part of it for us.
Yeah,
he hasn't kept his word on a lot of things. I don't think you should expect him to keep it on much else.
Well, what were the town leaders? Weren't they after the governor in contacting his office to try to get some relief back in late fall or throughout the winter?
We all were. I mean, the council of small towns, the CCM, you know, the different organizations for bigger towns, smaller towns, they were all out there asking for it, but we were out there screaming and yelling every day. I mean, remember, we all see the signs in our towns that say, vote for the town budget this week, and start seeing them in April, right? And most of them are in May. When you go, when you vote, whether you want, you support the budget that the town put forth or not. But in that budget, there is money worked in there that the state is giving you, just like the state does budgets working in what the federal government is giving us.
Right.
And there are federal programs, there are state programs. And if we can't, as towns in the state and citizens of the state, rely on what the state is telling us they're going to give us, then we have nothing. I mean, this is, you've heard me talk about this for months. This is all about trust. When we're not going to agree on everything, nor should we, but we must at least trust the words that are being said. And that's the problem in Connecticut. There are a lot of words being said and not a lot of actions following.
Well, you had mentioned something that's very true a second ago regarding, thank God we did not have a terrible winter regarding snow removal. But yet, they're still, municipalities are still receiving money that would go traditionally to public works departments. Could that money then be used in other ways?
Which money, Gary?
The money that was appropriated for municipalities in their snow removal. Now that winter is almost over, and let's face it, we both know there was very little, if any, snow. That money that he was holding hostage for snow removal for these towns, can they now reallocate that?
Well, it would depend on where, on what money was used, whether they took the money from their budget reserve, et cetera. So each town operates differently.
Okay. Let's switch it around a little bit. I understand there was, or is, maybe it's ongoing, a real deep cleaning that in the LOB and the state capitol, and that it causes the state capitol to be closed over the next, today and tomorrow, right? Or is this now being closed into next week as well?
What we did is, and remember, the legislative leaders, the six of us, are the ones that have the decision-making power over what happens with the legislative office building, what happens with the state capitol and the state, the old state house. So, you know, we've been operating, obviously, under the information from the Department of Public Health, Public Safety, the governor, and we decided earlier this week that we would close the building today, all buildings today and tomorrow, for a deep cleaning from top to bottom, and then reassess what we would do for next week. We also canceled all public, non-legislative events within those buildings for the week. We've been meeting all week several times per day, and yesterday we decided that next week everything would be canceled at the state capitol and legislative office building, except for committee meetings where votes had to be voted out of committee. So all hearings were canceled, all public meetings are canceled, and a session is canceled. And if people did not feel well or had vulnerable people in their home, they didn't feel they should be out in public, they could vote just for those committee meetings, just for this narrow purpose, by phone.
Are there any state legislators in the House or Senate, Republican, Democrat, regardless, that you're aware of that are feeling flu-like symptoms, or even any lobbyists or any workers, employees that are in the state capitol or LOB feeling under the weather?
I have not seen any, but, you know, there's allergies out there. There are colds. There's people that have... you know, my throat's been scratchy for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I have the coronavirus. you know, I'm not sure what every single person in that building feels or has.
No,
I have not heard any so far, but, you know, we've seen this in the past 48 hours. There's been a huge difference in who's been affected and closing. Schools have closed. There's been another person found to have corona in the state of Connecticut as of yesterday.
Yeah, down in New Canaan.
There are more people every day. And I think this is going to get worse before it gets better, and everybody just needs to take every precaution. And my biggest concern is the populations that are most vulnerable. If you're 70 years and older, if you have pre-existing conditions, you know, we just urge everybody, if they don't feel well, stay home. If they have any of those vulnerable populations, I mean, we all have parents and grandparents and older people in our lives. There are some legislators, right, that are of that age group. And we want to make sure that government is running the best way it can, but the first and foremost concern is our public health.
Yeah, and I agree. In fact, I've almost said what you just said verbatim. You know, if you are over the age of 70 years old or have a pre-existing condition, so on and so forth, then you should take, you know, heightened precautions. What's your take on eliminating or canceling school sports this time of year, where it seems like it's not even postponed, but the CIAC's decision to just outright cancel winter sports tournaments?
Well, as in coming from an athletic background, I was a high school athlete.
I know you were.
My sister, my family, yeah. You know, my nephew who's in college right now. Certainly that was something that was upsetting to everyone, but we actually spoke with them. And what people need to understand is that, first of all, as somebody that has been involved in decision-making for the state buildings, I know how difficult it is to make these decisions. You don't want to disappoint people. You don't want to stop business from running, but you have to figure out what is in the public health interest. What people need to understand is I think that there are about 140 different contests that still hadn't occurred in the final winter season, which means that would have been 140 times people were being, you know, involved with other people, involved with the public, touching, being around a large group of people. But what happened was, in these postseason events, they need big venues. They're not held in most of our high schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's Yale or Southern or, you know, schools that are handling these events, some of them started to cancel.
Yeah.
And then some of the big venues were not available anymore to actually have these events. And then some of the high schools started to pull out. So if you look at just what happened the last 24 hours, most Fairfield County schools are canceling, mm-hmm. which means those kids are not going to be able to compete in sports. And then you had a limited amount of kids competing in these sports, and then you had the venues that were in, a lot of them canceling, and that was a big part of the reason the CAC made the decision they did.
What about this, you know, the news media overstating or maybe, I don't know, hyper-emphasizing the threat of coronavirus? It seems to just dominate newscasts nearly 24/7. And it's putting fear into a lot of people, in my opinion, in some ways unnecessarily. And it's having an effect. It's slowing down business in here in our state, which, of course, then has an effect on the overall state economy. Do you have an opinion on that? Do you agree with that? Or do you think this it's overemphasized or not emphasized enough? Or are we right on target with the amount of emphasizing of this coronavirus?
I don't think you can be too cautious. My concern is that we underreact, not that we overreact. I understand that people are not happy that things are being canceled. I mean, when you look at the NBA canceled the rest of their season until further notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the NCAA basketball tournaments that the public is not being able to attend. We've talked to, and the governor spoke with many governors from other states, and every one of them, according to his conversations, said they wish they reacted on this earlier than they did. And I will say this, Gary, in this thought process we've had for the past several days, which has been very difficult, because it's difficult to, you know, you're controlling people's lives and you're saying you can't do this and you can't do that.
Yep.
I can handle the criticism if I think I made the best decision I can, but what I cannot handle is people dying on our watch that didn't have to happen.
Good answer. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. As always, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks, Themis.